The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Shall call. Live you must, and let to live. Fairly take, and fairly give. Do what thou will, if it harms none. By the magic of all, may it be done. Nine woods in the cauldron go, as above, so below. Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Merry Mid, everybody, and welcome. The music you just heard was called Mansion in the Mist by Midnight Syndicate, and that's appropriate because tonight we're going to be talking about the ghosts of a very haunted southern mansion in Cape May, New Jersey, with my good friend Bruce Tangle. Now, many of you know Bruce from his appearance on Ghost Hunters and his DVD, The Staring Man, as well as many events and ghost hunts that he puts on throughout the year. And one of his favorite spots to do that is the Southern Mansion. Now, it's been featured on Ghost Hunters and is a fan favorite. And Bruce goes there often, knows all the ghost stories, and happens to have attracted the attention of one resident ghost who seems pretty smitten with him. So what's it like to have a ghost as a girlfriend on the other side? Well, we'll soon find out. Now, if anybody has any questions for Bruce about the Southern Mansion or anything else, he opened it up, guys. If you have a question for Bruce, throw it at us. Anything you want to ask him, just send me a private message in the Para-X chat room. And as usual, if you're not in the chat room, come visit us at paraxradionetwork.com. Hey, Bruce, there you are.
Hi, Mar. How are you?
I'm good. You said you put on a suit and got a haircut to be on radio this week?
I wanted to look good for the radio show, yes. I went out, got my suit cleaned and pressed, got a haircut, you know, so I'm ready.
Amazing. All right. Well,
I don't do that for just anybody, you know.
No, I know. I'm very happy about that. I'm very flattered that, you know, and I've seen pictures. You, when you get all dolled up, you look all right. So
yeah, after the show, I take it off and I put it back in the mothballs and you know, wait for the next time you ask me to come on.
Well, you know, that happens, so don't put it away too far in the mothballs.
Okay.
You know, let the moths get out, stretch their wings, fly around a little bit. It's okay. They're all right.
I actually don't like to get dressed up. You know, I'm a very casual, you know, type dresser, and for this, I broke out the old suit and tie and everything, so I wanted to look good on the radio.
Did you spit shine your shoes?
Actually, I'm not wearing any shoes.
There you go. I like that. All dressed up and no shoes to go. All right.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting down. I figure if you can't see me through this miracle invention that we call a computer, you only can see the top half of me anyway, so.
That's all right. That's in some cases, it's a lot safer, so we'll go with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to tag team you here to open the show, because I found a very short history about the Southern Mansion, and I'm going to talk about it for a sec. And then we're going to talk about the ghosts that live there and the others who might come and go, because that's what you know. So let me just, it's very short, but let me just tell everybody that the Southern Mansion was built in 1863 by Philadelphia industrialist George Allen, and it was used by the Allen family and his descendants as a country estate for the next like 83 years or something. And in 1946, the last of his direct relatives, her name was Esther, passed, and her husband sold the estate with all its furnishings, and then the building was converted into a boarding house. And for the next 50 years, there was really very little maintenance done on the house or the grounds. So by the 1980s, the boarding house license was revoked, and the building was abandoned until 1994. And that was when a Philadelphia couple happened to walk by on this run-down abandoned mansion and saw the for sale sign, and they purchased the old Victorian, and over the next few years, they renovated it and brought it back to its original glory with heirloom furnishings and artwork and the antebellum style and some beautiful grounds. So apparently, they did a wonderful restoration of the mansion that some of the previous owners and tenants don't want to leave. So Bruce, this is where you come in, because you're pretty familiar with some of the ghostly tenants, aren't you?
Yeah, well, like I've said this many times, Mar, I've been to many mansions, you know, throughout the United States, and they're all beautiful and different and met a lot of really nice people. But the Southern Mansion, actually, and it's not because we did an episode there and I do, you know, presentations down here. It is actually one of the most beautiful mansions I've ever been in. And what's crazy about it, you know, if you ever take the historical tour that they put on during the summers, and is that it was going to be torn down. There was garbage. You know, they had, like, when you walk in and to the right is the original ballroom. It's a big, beautiful room. And they had partitioned it off into three different rooms, and the garbage was piled up as high as the ceiling. Wow. And the ceiling has to be, I don't know, 20, 30 feet high, whatever it is, but it's amazing. They actually had AstroTurf on some of the, in some of the rooms. It was in really, really in bad shape. And if, I don't know if any of the people that are listening has ever been there, but if you ever get a chance and you go to Cape May, which is actually the oldest resort in the country, it's like going back in time. It's with all these Victorian bed and breakfasts in place and the shore, and they have great restaurants. It's just a great place to go to. And as a lot of people say, or that it actually is supposedly one of the most haunted areas in the country. And you know, because it has everything. Like I said, it's the oldest resort. It has the water, a lot of the crystal, and all that other stuff that, you know, other people know better than I. But it is, just about every place down there is said to be haunted. And what happened is, when we were doing the Ghost Hunter show, what I would do is I would go out looking for locations. And I decided to go there, and you fall in love with it as soon as you go in, because it's amazing how they fixed it. Mm-hmm. The spiral staircase is always something that people stop and take pictures of. It is this absolutely beautiful place. And like I said, I went there and I took the historical tour. They actually recognized me, and I had asked if the people wouldn't mind if they talked about the haunting part, so I would get an idea. Mm-hmm. And nobody mind, you know, nobody minded, because there was a couple kids. I don't want anybody to get nervous or anything. Mm-hmm. So they were very, very kind, and they would tell stories. And what had happened, we were in one room which happens to be Esther's room, one of the, you know, one of the main spirits there, mm-hmm. as far as I know. Like I said, there's no way to prove anything, but except by maybe some of the EVPs that I've captured over the years. But we went into a room, which is one of the smaller rooms. I think it's on a second or third floor. I can't remember now. But after the woman stopped talking, you know, I held the door open for everybody, and somebody put their hand on my right shoulder. And, you know, I'm a big guy, and I'm not easy to move. And I looked to see who grabbed me, and there was nobody there. So it was really cool. And I didn't want to say anything to anybody, and I don't want anybody to get nervous, but that more or less solidified the fact that, what everything that I've heard and experienced in that, because actually one of the things that happens is that there is a touchy-feely ghost that hangs out there. Many, many people get touched. You know, a lot of women actually get their rear ends pinched. and it's, you know, I usually, when I tell the story during the summer, I usually interject my little humor saying that's the type of ghost that I probably wind up being. You know, because he goes, but I say I'm only kidding. I don't want any of the ladies to get mad at me. But, you know, what are they going to do, kill me? I'm already dead.
Yeah, really? Oh, my God, that's funny.
But it happens, and I'll tell you a story about that, too. But even when I do my presentations there in the summer, so many people get touched. They feel, be it maybe a child or whoever, they feel fingers running through their hair, and they get freaked out. They really do. And, you know, some of them take it with a grain of salt. I've had men that have experienced, somebody grabbing them also. It's just, there's a lot of touchy-feely things. In fact, when we did the episode, I don't know how many of you have seen it. The episode is called Touched by Evil. Huh? Now, that was the network calling it that. There's nothing whatsoever evil in this place, okay? Mm-hmm. It was called that because of when we did the episode that Dave and I were doing a scene in the downstairs ballroom, and I was kibitzing with him a little bit and telling him how to drink a martini with the pinky out. And after I put the glass down, somebody grabbed me on the shoulder. Now, when we film or we investigate, when we do the show, there's only the people that are investigating, you know, probably just two people. And then the sound guy and the camera guy. And the camera guy was in front of us, so we were able to see him. Mm-hmm. So when somebody grabbed my my arm, I looked, and there's nobody there. So, and I said to Dave, I said, somebody just touched me. And they go to a commercial, and they come back, and they redo it again. And actually, my son got aggravated because it happened to him, not to me, and not him. But there is a touchy-feely ghost there, maybe more than one. You know, who says the only one person is touching? But it was a cool experience, and they just named it "Touched by Evil." But I'm telling you, there's nothing evil there. There are a lot of playful ghosts, and it is, and I've said this many times, and I've said this to you also, Mar, we talk a lot, mm-hmm. is that it is the most haunted location that I've ever been in my entire life. Yeah. And I've been to many, many places, okay? And the activity is just unreal. I've done probably well over 200 EVP sessions, usually about a half hour, and I play it back, and I've never been zilched. I get as many as 7 responses, and they're usually very, very cool. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a few times where I say, it's going to happen one of these days where we're not going to get anything, because obviously there's no guarantee. Mm-hmm. But as you know, I'm pretty lucky when it comes to doing EVP sessions, Mar. So, and some of the experiences that the people have had while we're sitting down there in the downstairs ballroom doing the EVP sessions has just been absolutely wild. Some very emotional. And the things that have happened down there are just crazy. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a little later. But I'm rambling on here, so
what else? You're doing good. No, you're saying some stuff that I didn't know either.
Oh, yeah. Well, the EVP sessions, like I said, I've done over 200 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always gotten something.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very, very active. Sometimes we've had many disembodied voices where there's supposedly a little boy that died there of the measles. He's about 11 or 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing the EVP sessions with the light out. And somebody asked for the little boy. All right. And then, now, mind you, there was no kids. Kids do come to this. But at this particular session, there was no children there. Mm-hmm. And when somebody asked for the little boy, not only did we pick it up on the recorder, is it was a disembodied voice of him giggling in the back.
Mm.
It was loud. It was like 10 seconds, which is an eternity, mm-hmm. actually. And to be honest with you, I lost half of my crowd that night. They were shaken. You know, they were there. And I tried to tell them, I said, you just experienced something, you know, I'm sure you're never going to forget, but nothing's here to hurt you.
Right.
But it was, and I tell everybody, I'm not a tech person. There's no hanky-panky going on there. It was a real, real thing, and it's happened more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear that little boy giggling in the back, and everybody turns their head, and there's no little boy there. Like I said, a lot of people left pretty quickly, you know.
Somebody got whiplash.
Oh, it's happened. We filmed there, maybe 13 years ago. I don't remember exactly, but I've been doing the, you know, the presentations in July and August, you know, for quite a few years, maybe 12 years now. And it never ceases to amaze me that of all the activity that we have and all the things that have happened just downstairs in the ballroom. It's just quite, and I tell people, once I'm telling, you know, I go into telling some of the ghost stories, which I'll get into shortly, is that I, you know, I'm not a prima donna. During the summer, they sell, you know, the rooms are beautiful and people stay there. And if they're all booked up, they just put a cot down there and I actually sleep down there. And people can't believe that I do. And and what happens a lot is that when I'm sleeping in the cot, I don't know who it is. I'm guessing it might be the little boy. They start tapping my feet or tap my head. And, you know, and I'll say, please, you know, you just ask them, please leave me alone. I got to get some sleep, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. They keep on doing it. And I actually can hear their footsteps walking around and whispering, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And believe me, when I'm done, all the doors are locked. Nobody could get in. And, but there have been times, actually twice over the years I've been down there, where I had to get up, grab my pillow, and go sleep in the back of my car, which wasn't pleasant because, you know, it was actually a couple muggy nights down there. Mm, but,
wow.
You know, they won't leave me alone. They want the activity, and they've a lot of people feel that they've gotten close to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, like I said, most of the time they'll leave me alone, you know, after a little bit. But sometimes it just increased after I asked them to leave me alone. And I'm just guessing it was the boy, mm-hmm. because there was, you know, no way, I obviously can't prove it.
Right.
But it's to me, it's cool. It would frighten the hell out of most people, but you get used to this type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's nothing bad there, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, so.
Well, you know, I was thinking, you know, and we'll talk about certain spirits and whatever, but I was thinking that since it was a boarding house for so many years, they had very transient groups of residents, I'm sure, you know, in and out, because, you know, people don't stay in boarding houses forever. And some of them, you know, that might have been like their saving grace. And now that they're on the other side, they go back there because they were comfortable there, or they knew it. But so I'm thinking, you know, with transient groups of residents in life, you have transient groups of people from spirits coming back into the place itself also for a variety of reasons. I mean, A, like I said, maybe that was the best years of their lives. B, maybe the ones that are there are attracting others, you know, because, you know, spirit knows where spirit goes. So, yeah. You know, it could be that. So from what you know, who are the resident ghosts that you know about other than your girlfriend, Esther? We know Esther, but I mean.
Yeah,
you know.
I'll tell you who they are. But one thing is, I tell everybody, I says it doesn't necessarily, when we do our EVP sessions, I tell people, you can ask something personal, because a lot of family has come through to people down there for whatever reason. Maybe it's the beauty of the place.
Yeah.
Because I tell them, you don't have to ask questions about, because I talk about the different supposed ghosts that are there. Mm-hmm. And they've asked about, you know, they ask questions about family members, and they've come through. As I think I might have told you, it wasn't this past year, but a year before, there was a woman there with her two daughters. And during the EVP session, she asked, Mom, are you okay? Now, we don't hear anything, and but when I played the recording back on the speaker, you would hear the woman say, Mom, are you okay? And a woman's voice very clearly says, I am doing fine.
Oh.
And the woman broke down in tears. I almost got in, you know, I almost lost it too. A lot of people, because it was so clear. And she said, that was my mom who just passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually said that it sounded like her voice.
Mm-hmm.
But even the granddaughters that were there, they said, yeah, that's my grandmom, you know. Mm-hmm. But this type of stuff happens all the time. I had a woman this past summer ask the question in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Can't remember what it was, Mar, to be honest with you. And my Spanish is a little rusty. But there was like three generations of the family there. And she asked a question, and lo and behold, she got an answer in Spanish, which was really, really cool. But a lot of cool stuff happens. But I know I'm going off in tangents. Well,
no, keep talking. Okay, so Esther, who is close to you, she was the last living descendant of George Allen. And so she was kind of the last one to leave the house. I mean, she was the last one that lived there all that time. So we know that she's there, and you've mentioned her being very pivotal there. But what are some of the other ones that are there that you know?
Well, I'll talk about Esther in a second, but there is supposedly a Civil War soldier there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's seen actually walking throughout the building, you know, on the grounds. And, you know, I usually ask for him at least once or twice during the session. And to be honest, from my memory, he's only come through maybe a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I asked either I or somebody else asked him what side he was on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was he with the north or south? And he did answer. But I'm not going to lie, I can't remember which side he said he was on.
Mm-hmm.
But he's seen that. I think I asked him one time, would you like to go to the bar? Because the bar is down there also.
Yeah.
And would you like to go to the bar and have a drink? And he answered, you know, he answered yes. You know, just one word. And, but Esther, let's get to Esther now. She is, she was a very, very beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. All right. As you walk in, before you get into the dining area, you look to the right, there's a portrait of her. Mm-hmm. And I always tell the people how pretty she was and everything. And, she's seen throughout the building. Just a little history on her. She drank herself to death, unfortunately.
Mm.
They partied hardy down there. I mean, back when. Mm-hmm. And she was always drunk. And again, she died because of her drinking. Mm. And people see her. They come in during the night. You know, there's a code on the door. You can come in anytime. And they'll go past the original ballroom, and they'll see a woman dressed in Victorian garb dancing in the middle. Obviously, it's dark, but mm-hmm. they see a woman, you know, dancing around or mm-hmm. sitting in a chair or mm-hmm. or walking, you know. And then when they get to the second door, they peek in because they're just wondering what's going on, and then it's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. But she's seen throughout the building. And what had happened is the first couple of years we would always ask because obviously I heard about Esther. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she finally one day I said, is it a normal question? I usually it was a bang up night. It was pretty cool because it started right after the first question. I said, if there's anybody here with us. Can you give me your name? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, when we played it back, you could hear it's Esther. And mm-hmm. it was loud as could be. Mm-hmm. And people were, you know, they got the chills. And it was the first time she ever responded. Mm-hmm. But since then, you know, she must have taken a liking to me. And, you know, I tell this story all the time. She comes through. We've asked her, you know, what's the color of your favorite dress? She says purple. In fact, Rock was there. Rock with the Shock was there that night when she said that. But one night we were doing an EVP session, and the lights are out. And as a joke, you know, I try to make things light. And I says, Esther, I tell everybody how pretty you are, and I said, would you like to go out on a date with me? And after I said it, everybody in the room chuckled and everything. And but lo and behold, when we played it back, and you hear me say, Esther, would you go out on a date with me? She said, yes, I will. So I tell everybody, see how many people you know that's, is I'm set up. When I kick the bucket, I got Esther waiting. I got Esther waiting for me with a bottle of wine in her hand, you know.
Well, you and better like hope said,
she's a pretty girl.
You better hope her husband isn't there too, waiting for you.
I hope. Yeah. Well. Yeah. You know what? I never thought of that. I don't need any trouble. I got enough of troubles while I'm living. I don't need those troubles when I kick.
Yeah,
the
you homewrecker on the other side.
Yeah.
I can see it all now. You'll be begging to come back. You'll be begging to reincarnate like immediately, just to get the hell out of there.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, that's funny.
But she comes through quite often, and people get a lot of answers down there. A lot of answers, you know, by family members, and it's just unbelievable. And you know, I tell people don't get away from taking. I said you're welcome to take photos while we're doing the session, mm-hmm. and we've gotten some great photos. One is the best, not because it was at the mansion. But I think it was Esther, because I'm at a table facing the people seated in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and somebody from New York took a picture to a door that I had told a story about,
mm-hmm.
and then when he came over to me and showed me the picture, and I'm telling you, Mar, you'll see. A woman trying to manifest, and you mm-hmm. see a woman's face and the bun in back of her head. It looks like Esther.
Mm-hmm.
So and everybody knew, nobody stood up, and they were standing right in front of me, but her back was to me,
mm-hmm.
and she was facing the crowd. Wow. It was an amazing, amazing photo, and hopefully one of these days I could show it to you or get it to you. But yeah. And then another person took a photo, and it looked, don't ask me why, but it looked like a monk standing next to a guy, you know, that was, you know, in the audience. Very cool, you know, very cool stuff.
Well, let's hope it wasn't the Grim Reaper.
The guy got the heebie-jeebies when he saw it, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, a hooded fight. If a hooded figure was next to me, I think I'd get the heebie-jeebies.
Looked like a monk, but like you said, who the heck knows?
You know.
Just seeing that photo,
yeah.
And, you know, nobody was standing next to you. That's mm-hmm. a little creepy, and I can understand him being a little unnerved.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a short break, a two-minute break. So, everybody, we'll be right back.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back, so don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned.
Just in time for Halloween. Explore the second edition of the Witch's Oracle deck through 45 innovative cards and enhanced guidebook that peers into the world of the witch. The deck's stunning artwork has a new look and includes 7 brand new inspirational cards. Each card now includes a suggested crystal or gemstone to enhance your reading, as well as a magical incantation that provides energy, reinforces the card's meaning, and helps the desired message to be sent out into the universe. The easy-to-navigate guide also has a new look and offers straightforward, gentle guidance that takes readers through both good times and bad. And now includes a chapter on crystal and gemstone divination by the amazing Nicholas Pearson. The deck can also be used in conjunction with Tarot, the Witch's Oracle. It is a perfect divination deck for witches as well as non-pagans, and is designed to suit both seasoned readers and beginners alike. Find out more about the Witch's Oracle deck at marlabrooks.com, and is now available for pre-ordering from shifferbooks.com and amazon.com.
This is New Aeon Now. News and discussion of the metaphysical, the occult, the paranormal, and much, much more. With your hosts, New Aeon High Priestess Reverend Lily Alley, head of the Draken chapter of the Order of Paranormal Exploration, Christine Matza. The New Aeon is now. Join us every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for New Aeon Now.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And I'm here with Bruce Tango, and we're going to be continuing to talk about the very haunted Southern Mansion in Cape May, New Jersey, and a couple of other things, too, coming up. So we'll get to that in a minute. But before we left, we were talking about Esther and that you could possibly be a homewrecker in the other world. Lots of good stuff. So now one of the things, when you go, like you said, you go in July
and August, yeah.
Yeah. And so there's always EVP sessions there. Now, have you noticed a pattern? Like, are the same spirits coming through to you all the time, or do you get a variety? Do you maybe get strangers as far as that's concerned? You know, I know you call out to people, but do some spirits just kind of pop in and say their 2 cents and go away, or what?
Yeah, exactly, Mari. There's no rhyme or reason to it. There's no pattern. You know, sometimes it'll be Esther. Sometimes you hear the little boy. But a lot of times it will be personal things. People will ask something personal, whether they had a family. You know, a lot of them, people ask for one of their family members that have passed. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable how many responses. And to me, they're intelligent responses and direct answers. You know, so it's really, really cool. That's why I say you don't have to die in a place to be there. Just, mm-hmm. the theory being that just like we could go any place that we want to, so can spirits, mm-hmm. you know. So you don't have to necessarily just ask for the supposed spirits, you know, at the Southern Mansion. You could, you know, do your own thing. But they're mm-hmm. there. You know, the little boy, Esther, quite often. It's such a cool place. And this, if the people that watched Ghost Hunters when it first started, if you knew the hour show, they would do two locations. You would see two investigations, half hour there, half hour there. Mm-hmm. But when we went to the Southern Mansion, every team that went in there, there was so much activity and so much going on that they actually did a whole hour on the location. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the first time they had done that. So, and the place never fails me. I love it because it's of its beauty and its activity, and the people down there are just nice. They become family to me, mm-hmm. and there's so much that happens there. It is really, really a cool, beautiful place.
And speaking of EVPs and ghosts and beautiful places, are you, and several people have asked this, and so I'm going to just ask it for them. Are you going to be appearing on any episodes of the new series on the Travel Channel Ghost Nation with your son and Steve Gonzalez and Jason Hawes?
Well, it's a good possibility. That's all I can tell you.
All right. You just smiled when you said that. So well,
it's a good possibility. Yeah. I enjoy being with the guys, and it seems like, you know, whenever I'm with them, you won't see a lot of it, but I cause a lot of havoc. But there's always usually, I'm like a lucky charm, there's usually something cool that happens. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy, you know, being with Jay and Steve, and especially my son. Mm-hmm. You know, it is so cool to do this. I mean, you know, we're at the point, and you probably heard me say this before. I mean, I've been involved in this stuff way back when, since I was 13. So we're way over 50 years. And it carried on to my sons. You know, my oldest son is a police officer. He's interested in it, but he doesn't get involved, mm-hmm. you know, in it as much as, you know, David and I. Mm-hmm. But he's interested in it, and that's why Dave got involved in this stuff also. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's no longer me, you know, teaching my son. I mean, David. When I need a question answered, if that happens, I go to my son. I'm very proud of him. He's done such a great job, you know, having Tourette's syndrome and fighting that and being on a TV show and doing the things that he does is just amazing. And he's inspired many other people, other kids that have the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that makes us and David feel very, very good. But
yeah.
he's a wealth of information. He's helped me out many, many times, as I have helped him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm older. I should know a little bit more than he does. But, you know, if I come across something and I'm not sure about, David is my first call. And, you know, I may get, you know, Steve or Jay involved, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I enjoy it so much, being with them. It's just like a kid in this candy store when I'm with them, you know. It's pretty cool. I'm able to do things I normally would have never been able to do, and access places that I probably have never been able to get into. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always thank my son, and he says, "Dad, it's my pleasure." He goes, you know, it's pretty cool, Mar, you know, being able to do this type of stuff with some great people.
Yeah, and I'm kind of looking forward to the return of Papa Tango. And I'm, like I said, I'm sure a lot of people are, and maybe people should, you know, call into the station or send them an email or something saying that they want to see more of you.
I wouldn't ask anybody to do that, but
no, but I mean, but people do, you know. I mean, I'm gonna send a note to have you guys come out to the West Coast just once. And do that.
Well,
I know.
It was hard, you know, my buddy Steve, you know, he has to drive everywhere. But that might happen, you know. It just might happen because, you know, honestly, I'm asked so many times, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, we talk. I'm hoping to come out there and meet you. And there's so many places out there that I want to see. I mean, Dave's been there, but... You know, it's on my bucket list, Mar. There's so many things I want to do and see there.
Do you want to share the one thing that people are probably not going to think that you're coming out for? Because they're going to think that, you know, you'll be thinking about John Wayne's ghost on his boat and everything. But there is a certain area that takes a lot of manual dexterity to get up there, but you would really like to go see that, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you know, and my son too, and Steve also.
Okay, we better tell them what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell them. Okay. I would love to go see the stairs that Laurel and Hardy did their episode or film. The music box at, you know, it's still there. It's, you know, the house next to it has changed a little bit, but the stairway is there. And I'd love to go and just sit on them stairs for a little while, because as you know, I think Laurel and Hardy are probably the finest comedy duo that ever lived. Don't get me wrong. I love, you know, Abbott and Costello. I think they're terrific. And also, you know, Jackie Gleason and Art Carney, they're my favorites. But Laurel and Hardy, there's something special. I mean, you know, I actually watched one of their films today, you know, and they're just great. But some people might think that's stupid, but to me, that's on my bucket list. You know, I would love to go there just to take a picture of it, you know, of me sitting there or standing there on those steps. Yeah. I think that would be really, really cool. Yeah. But that's me, you know.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to race you up there because I don't think either of us would get halfway up. And
no, my knees are shot. I'd have to hire somebody to carry me up there.
Yeah, that's it. Me too. They're very steep. If anybody's seen that movie, it's very cute. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, there are a lot of places and a lot of ghosty places. And, you know, we've talked about different places that you could go.
Some really, really cool places. If I get there, I'm going to have to spend some time because there's a lot I want to do. I mean, David's been there and he's told me so many things. You have. So my list is long. And, you know, once I get there, because never know if I'm going to get back. So I'm not trying to be, you know,
morbid
here, but you know, the truth is the truth. You know, it's on the West Coast, but I'd love to go there. I'm asked to go there all the time. You know, people say, why don't you come here? Why don't you do this? I mean, I'm asked for events, but you know that I've had, you know, a lot of operations because of my past career. You know, I've had a lot of injuries, so I don't get around as well as I used to, but I still, you know, can do what I got to do.
Yeah. Well, maybe next time you're at the mansion, maybe Esther will say, you know, you got to go there. And maybe, you know, she'll make it possible for you. You never know. But anyway, speaking of getting there, we've been talking so much about the haunted Southern Mansion. I mean, I'm envying anybody that gets to go there. I truly am. It's like, you want to come to California, I want to go see some of those things on the East Coast. But you've got a really nice event coming up there at the end of January. And I think we could talk a little bit about that, and also the very special guest investigator that's going to be there on both nights. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, thank you. You know, this this show fits well for me to, you know, tell people about it, and I appreciate it more, is that this is probably one of the most anticipated events that we do. The guys themselves love it. In past year, this will be the fourth year, even though it's in January, we've been very lucky with the weather. Mm-hmm. Cape May seems to, for some reason, they miss a lot of the bad weather down there, and it's really amazing. But anyway, we've had great weather the past 3 years. This will be the fourth year. And what's going to happen on January 24th and 25th, we're gonna do an investigation there. It's a lot of fun. You could stay there, you know, as long as you get your tickets and get a room in time. And we do a meet and greet. We have a pizza party. In fact, anybody that gets their tickets before Sunday, they have a chance of having dinner before the event with all the guests, which is pretty cool. There'll be a drawing for that. And but then, you know, we do a Q&A, everybody, and then we do a lights out EVP, and you know, then we break up into groups and we investigate. Everybody will be with everybody for a certain amount of time. You'll investigate with all the celebrities. Then we come back downstairs, go over the evidence, and just have a great time. And in the morning, there's breakfast. So it really is, you know, a good time. And to be honest with you, we get people from all over the United States and Canada. Mm-hmm. The last couple of years, you know, we've had people from 14 different states.
Wow. From
Quebec, from Montreal, from Toronto. But it's going to be my son, Dave, mm-hmm. Steve from mm-hmm. Ghost Nation, you know, and we also have a really, really nice woman.
Yes.
Her name is Andrea Perrone. Her and her family, the haunting that they had back, I think it was in the 70s, prompted the making of the movie The Conjuring, mm-hmm. which, if you've seen it, it's an amazing movie.
Yeah, it is.
Andrea will be talking about, you know, the incidents that she grew up with, her and her family, and the things that happened there, which is worth for the price of the ticket alone. And, you know, and she'll be investigating with us. She's really, really a great, smart lady, a good friend, very nice. I'm looking forward to seeing her again. And also, we're probably going to have another friend who's been there before. She's an avid ghost hunter. Her name is Mary Deese Hampton. She's an actress. She's been on a lot of things on television, and she's done movies. Her husband is Jimmy Hampton, or James Hampton, who, if you remember, was in F Troop. Yeah. He was Corporal Dobbs. He was the uncle on Teen Wolf. He was caretaker on the Longest Yard. He's done so many movies, and one of the nicest guys you ever see was the Mary is her is his wife. Unfortunately, Jimmy is not going to be able to make it. He's not feeling well, but Mary's looking forward to coming again. She had such a good time with her friend from New York, and I got to remember to give her a call. She just texted me today, and and we may have another special guest coming who's really, really a cool guy, but I don't want to announce it until I know for sure. He looks like he may be in the area for something else, and he says, "Bruce, if I'll know soon. If I am," he says, "I'm coming. I don't want to miss this." So it's going to be a great time. There's a lot of laughs. There's a lot of fun. And you know, and we, like I said, hopefully we'll get some hits on during the EVP session. We usually do, but I'm waiting for that day where...
Hush.
You know, I know you always tell me don't think negative, but...
That's right.
The odds, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like I said, over 200 sessions there, and we always get a lot of cool stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, you really don't want me to tell you I told you so, because I will rub your nose in it.
I know
just,
you will.
Just telling you.
I know you will.
Yeah. So, and people can find out about the people that are coming and the ones that we're not talking about and this whatever by going to Bruce's website, which is brucetango.com. And that'll kind of keep people abreast of whatever. And people that want to get tickets, well, I think there's a push button on your website, but there's also, why don't you give out the Eventbrite address?
It's SMG, capital SMG, HOST. In other words, Southern Mansion Ghost dot Eventbrite.com.
Yeah. And just because I'm like helping you with stuff, I know that tickets are flying out the window already. I mean, I'm surprised because every time I go to the mail, you know, when I have to send you, you know, notifications, it's like another one and another one and another one and another one. And so, yeah. And
they're selling really, really well this year. And I'm very
surprised.
Happy about
yep.
it. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, don't worry about the weather. If something happens, if we get, if you buy tickets and we have to cancel, you'll all get your money back, I promise. But that hasn't happened. Actually, it's been uncanny. The weather has been more spring-like in January than anything. The weather's been great. So, you know, it's going to be a good time. It's an event that a lot of people look forward to, including us, because Dave, Steve, and myself, we actually love the Southern Mansion. It's such a beautiful place with really, really great people that run it. So if any of you out there want to come, please do. You won't be disappointed. That I promise you.
I looked at some of the pictures, you know, of the inside, and I mean, they really, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like stepping into another era, basically.
I sleep better there than any place else I've ever slept in. Their rooms, they're absolutely beautiful.
Oh.
It's for me to explain, it wouldn't do it justice. It is absolutely a beautiful place.
I think their website is southernmansion.com, so if people want to go have a look, it's very opulent and very, you know, it's just beautiful. And again, that feeling of, I love going places when you walk in and you feel like you're in a different era or a different time.
That's and I think what it's like.
Yeah, it's amazing, because I said that when we did the investigation at Gary Cooper's house, that when you walked into that house, you were back in the 50s or the 40s.
That's cool. You know?
Yeah. And so,
you've been to some really cool places. We've talked about this, and well, I envy you a lot.
Well, yeah. You're doing some pretty envious places like yourself. I mean, somewhere we're going to have to like change coasts and meet in the middle and then just, you know, in passing and say, see ya, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to try to get there. I even talked to Dave. I said, Dave, you got to get your old man over to the West Coast, you know, before I kick the bucket, you know. And he laughs. You know, he laughs. I said, Dave, I got to, there's things. And he wants to see, you know, the Laurel and Hardy stairs with mm-hmm. the music box and, you know, John Wayne's booth and all these
yeah.
other places.
Yeah, we go eat some Chinese food.
What's it called, Mar? The Magic what? The Magic...
you want to go up to the Magic Castle?
The
Magician's Club.
The Magician Place. Yeah,
yeah, that's the Magic Castle. Yeah.
Yeah, because David's been there.
Yeah.
And that's someplace I'd like to see also. But
it's very, very cool. And you know, going to the Formosa Cafe where John Wayne's booth is, they make pretty good Chinese food. So we could eat well, too.
Sounds good. That's important.
Yeah. It's always important. It always ends up being the food. Honest to God, it really does.
It just, you know, just makes the whole day. You know, you go out and you go, you're sightseeing and go to all these cool places. The best thing you could do is end it with some good food and a couple cocktails, maybe, you know?
Well, you know what I think would be an interesting experiment? Because as you said a little while ago, ghosts can go anywhere they want.
Right.
And I think it would be really interesting if you guys came out here and we were sitting at maybe John Wayne's table or something, and you whipped out the recorder and asked Esther to join us for dinner because, you know, maybe she really liked John Wayne. And you would know.
If Esther's listening now, Esther, I love you. But, you know, if I'm there, I'm going to be asking for John because if I could get a EVP from John Wayne, oh, geez, you know, what more can I ask for, Bar? You know what I mean?
I mean,
that would be absolutely exciting. You know, that would be my EVP of EVP.
Oh, my God. Can you just imagine you're asking for John Wayne and he comes back and said something about Pilgrim?
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. You know, yeah. Nobody would believe me. Now, if we went there, Mar, even though it would be me, you, Dave, Steve, would say whoever,
and
friends, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, maybe we'd get permission to stay after hours, and like you said, whip out the recorder, and I do ask for John, and he comes through. There's not a lot of people that are going to believe that it was on the up and up, but, you know, we don't do that, though. I've never done anything, you know, shaky. I'm not that smart, you know, with tech stuff in any way, but
we don't do that.
So, but you know how people are, the cynical, and they wouldn't believe it, but I wouldn't care. I know that I got it, you know, that means something to me.
There you go. Well, we're going to have to get out of here. So we'll continue this discussion at another time because, yeah, I just think it would be interesting. You could ask for John Wayne and Esther as well. So anyway, people, if you want to know more about Bruce, head over to brucetango.com. He's got all kinds of pictures up there. He's got all kinds of stuff. Anything you need to know about Bruce and contact information too. And as the old saying goes, unless he owes you, you owe him money. I mean, he owes you money. I keep getting that mixed up. But anyway, so thank you, Bruce. Thank you. When you get done with the mansion and everything, come back and tell us how it went, okay?
I will do that. Thank you for having me, Mar, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, well, we'll talk soon, and thank you, everybody, as you said, for tuning in and listening. And until next time, everybody, blessed be, and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2019. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompotech.com.